Hi, everybody. It appears that a few of us have trouble connecting to the Zoom interface. I hope that the Microsoft Teams interface is at least active for all of you. It appears that the direct link is not working for all of you. So if you use the webinar code and the password, it will work. But I'm talking to the wrong people because you managed, right? So, we already have some posts on Piazza to that effect because we have significantly not enough students in here, so I assume they're all struggling getting the right coordinates at the moment. So maybe just be a little bit more patient until more students actually manage to get hold onto this channel. Would be a pity if somebody would miss it and likes to be here. You can't hear me. Okay. Anybody else has that problem? It seems that the audio is going through. Nope, all clear. Okay, good. So maybe just check your speaker setup. Okay, I will adjust if the Zoom link actually says something about Wednesday. That would be bad. But obviously the meeting ID works. Okay, let me see whether I can quickly amend that. Recurring event for Wednesdays? Really? Okay. That would be very weird. Every week Monday. Yeah. Okay. No, sorry. Looks actually good from my side. All right. So for the benefit of all of those who actually made it well into that session. I think, just bear with me for a moment. All right, sorry for the technical hiccups. My frame rate is a bit low, which is not good. So let's hope this will improve a little bit. I'm simply struggling with overheating effects here. Okay, so again, welcome everybody to what will be turning out, hopefully, to be, again, a very interesting and engaging enterprise. This is the 2021 edition of COMP 6300, Computer Organization Program Execution. In short, architectures, assembly-level programming, machine interfaces. And this will give you quite a different angle into the world of computer science, hopefully. I will show you the faces of a few more of us to show you that we are all here quite happy and enthusiastic about what's going on with you and trying to support you as good as we possibly can. So we love what we're doing here, and I hope that rubs off a little bit to what you are experiencing with us. So, in that case, let me get to a little bit more actual material. That means I can go straight to that. And I will already shrink myself a little bit to size. Cool. Any questions you have during the whole operation, please use the Q&A channel. Our tutors will also be monitoring that and can answer quickly there. Otherwise, forums are, of course, also monitored while we're doing that. Not so much Teams. Teams is streamed into, so it's more for reference and for later recording to do that. Okay, any questions, please post here straight away, and we will take care of that. I know you have quite a few questions around the organization. We will come to all of that. So, what are we going to do here? Well, obviously, this is a lot about computer architecture, and this is, for almost all of you, a quite different view on it. Yes, I know a lot of you have done some Arduino stuff in the past. Trust me, it's not quite the same thing. We are actually taking it serious and going bare bones onto the actual machine. You will understand a lot more about CPU architecture after this lecture than just handling a board. As you see here from the lecture, we are not shying away from direct digital logic, from fiddling into individual bits, not because we love fiddling with bits, but because we need to understand the translation which is happening there. And you will do this as much as we can. I will say something about that a little later. On actual physical boards, even though some of you are currently a little bit in trouble getting your hands on physical boards, so we have to be a little bit more flexible this semester, and don't worry, we will find solutions for that. Okay? So, what do you think? What do we think who you are? Now, we assume that you, for the first time, probably want to actually translate and connect to the physical world, as opposed to see colorful blobs moving around on the screen and seeing some text appearing on the screen. This will actually change something in the physical world around you, what you're doing here. And that's a very interesting and pleasing experience. Most of us still vividly remember when we first realized working on machines which are physically in front of you and physically doing something, as opposed to just getting a nice output on the screen. Very rewarding enterprise, and gives you the confidence that you ultimately will understand what this is about. This is interesting. Why is computer science specifically interesting in connecting to the physical world? You could be an engineer, right? Engineers are also connecting to the physical world all the time. Actually, there is a big difference, and you will understand that in quite some detail. Computer science connects to the physical world in an almost one-to-one fashion. What you do on the in your designs, in your abstract designs, is not an approximation of what will happen in the physical world. It is exactly what is going to happen in the physical world. We're the only discipline where your abstract models and designs are not filtered down into approximations and, well, will be okay, let's make it double as thick and maybe it doesn't bend so much. It's not that kind of translation into the physical world. It is actually a one-to-one translation. Let me put it in other words. You're proving that something is correct in a logical sense inside computer science. You translate this into executing off on a computer, and your proof will, some disclaimers, will hold true in the physical world when you execute this code later on. Now, this is a luxury which you don't have in any other discipline, because you always think about models, and this is an approximation. Computer science is not usually an approximation. I said disclaimers. Yes, every once in a while we have radiation impact and a few bits inside your CPU feel sick and worried and fall over on their back, and what then? This is addressed and can be addressed. So while, yes, physical machines are never perfect, they're a lot closer to being holding up to your physical verification, to your logical verification, than you would expect in other disciplines. Okay, so this is really close. And of course, finally, you will find out what actually happens if you run your Python program or your Java program, or a little bit closer to the metal if you run your C++ program or your Ada program. And you will see directly how this translates into physical action on your machine. Doesn't mean that this is the way to optimize. Optimizing is a different story. Optimizing is done in your compiler mostly. But understanding what is actually happening gives you a completely different angle on programming and computer science in general. So, do we do any electronics work? Well, you're touching these boards, those who have them at the moment. So, in that sense, can we let you do some soldering work and do some expansion on that thing? Not really. This is one step too far. We are still not electronics people here, even though you will understand a little bit more of electronics after this course. All right. Is that something that intrigues you? Is that fair if I assume that you are interested in these kind of things? You're a very silent bunch. Okay. Take this as a resounding yes. Okay. Cool. That seems so far good. Okay. So we try to keep that in that direction. If you want to twist it into any other direction, let us know. But I think that's the general thrust of what you will be learning here. Cool. I'm always fascinated myself about real-world involvement, not just on a social level, changing larger social behaviors by computer science designs, but on a very immediate device level. And maybe you also will need to take responsibility of some of your designs in terms of you're designing systems which could potentially do significant damage and damage the environment, kill people. You should be having a confident approach to that, that your designs are actually safe. Not all of us are working in a field where, well, just release it, we can patch it. That's not the angle in a lot of physical environments where release it, somebody is getting hurt. This is not acceptable. So you need to be a lot more confident what you're doing on the physical side. This real-world involvement is very rewarding and quite interesting. So this is what we assume you might be interested in. Let me now show you a little bit what we are interested in. That's the gang. And I'm quite proud and happy about those, because this is a very experienced and capable crew of people. Just for historical context, quite a few of the people you see here have been helping and supporting this course since it was originally redesigned, which was in 2017, where Ben and myself have been redesigning this course from scratch and introducing this kind of physical interaction for US computer science students, which we didn't have before that. Funnily, at the time, we actually bypassed the physical interaction for most engineering courses quite a bit, but yeah, that's a side remark. Lots of these tutors are with us since then. Charles Martin was also involved on and off in between. I'm also coming in and out of this course again afterwards. This semester I will be running it again, so I know most of this material by heart because I wrote most of it. So that's a solid background. You don't have to worry that you're talking to amateurs, I hope. Please challenge me nevertheless. There will definitely be stuff which I don't know out of heart. So, having said though, we have a few people here who could introduce themselves and tell us a little bit more about their motivation, why they're here. Can I start with you, Ashley? Don't hear you at the moment, Ashley. Yeah. That's better, yeah.
I'm Asher Ashley. I took this course in 2019 and then tutored it last year and again this year. I really enjoyed this course. I came into computer science not knowing that I liked computer science. So as someone with no background knowledge at all, it's been really interesting building from the bottom up and then being able to apply that across my other courses. Even if you don't pursue hardware, this is going to be very useful in your understanding of all of your other courses.
Cool. Thanks, Ashley. I think that said it all almost. Beautiful. Ben, can I ask you to show us a little bit? You also have been very engaged with this course for quite some time and spent a few nights recently getting the tool chain in an even better state.
Okay. It should work now. I'm Ben. Same as Ashley, I think. Did the course a couple of years ago. She did it last year as well. I don't really have anything more to add to what she said. I do really enjoy the down to like the hardware-software boundary, which is what we'll be doing a lot in the labs. How your instructions translate to physical effects on the disco board. I like that a lot.
Right, thanks, Ben. Cool. And Tom, you want to say a few words as well?
Yeah, certainly. Hello, everyone. Can you give me correction?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Hello, everyone. My name is Tom. I am one of the newer tutors to the team. I took this course in 2020, and I'm here now, but I'm really looking forward to working with you all. It was funny listening to the description of our first times seeing that our code has impacts on the physical world. One of the all of the assignments in this course, when I did it at least, involved creating like a sound or a signal out of the disco board. And I remember being really, really excited when I first managed to make that sound. And I was like, this is really cool. Like, my code is having these impacts. And I hope you all have a similar experience with your engagement with your disco board this year. I'm interested in computer systems and data science. That's me.
Cool. Thanks, Tom. Alrighty. The rest of the gang you will meet. Sorry, that was the wrong button. Thanks, Tom. The rest of the gang you will meet in your first labs this week. Yes, all the labs are starting straight away. Some of them are starting straight after this lecture. This physical interaction, which we are all talking about, is a quite new experience. If you have seen this for the first time, you set something in your computer and on the other side something moves in the right direction, or maybe something smells funny because that wasn't a good direction in which you just moved something. It actually has physical impact, and that's what you will see in this course. So thanks, everybody, for joining in. If you would, for the tutors, if one or two of you would be still hanging around, having a little bit of a look at the Q&A and helping students a little later in the lecture, that would be cool. Otherwise, thanks for showing your face and your enthusiasm here. Cool. So, organization. And I will leave some of that actually open. So some of that you can still negotiate with us a little bit. Lectures, obviously, Monday, Wednesday, as you already see, you are already in them, so that's easy. Labs, we have a comfortable 3 hours per week for you. And we have a decent tutor to student ratio. We try to keep the ratio at least, or at worst, 15 to 1. So you have always tutors to talk to. You will often have tutor ratios which are 10 to 1 or better. Over 3 hours, that's a lot of face time. You will probably need it because there's lots of interesting questions to be asked there. And, do that a little later. The pickup board thing, we'll do that a little later. I will open the rest of the slots for the labs after the lecture. I will open the physical labs a little bit in stages because I have NIF to find out how much demand there is still for the physical labs. Don't worry, if you want a physical lab, you will get one. I just want to make sure that we don't have not ending up with physical labs which only have 3 students in them. So I will open the physicals in stages. The online labs I will open straight away after lecture in full. So keep an eye on streams and enroll where you take the most pleasure out of it. All of you will get a place, and you will get a place which you like. So if you want to have on campus, you will get on campus. This is a little different from many other courses at the ANU at the moment. Particularly large courses, of course, are quite challenged by on-campus operations, and we are lucky to be just at the very painful edge of capacity. So courses which are exceeding our numbers, we are pushing towards 400 now, just physically cannot do it on campus anymore because there is not enough seats for that. We just can do that, so we are lucky, or you are lucky, that we can still run that for you. So, picking up boards for those who are in online labs and would like to go into picking up boards, please do that in the lab today, N115, N116. There will be people there handing out boards for you if you want to get your hands on a board and you are in Canberra and you are in an online lab. If your lab is not scheduled yet, please don't pick it up today. I'm sorry for delaying you there a little bit, but otherwise I just have 375 students in one lab later on, and there's not going to be any lab happening if all of them are turning up there at the same time, or at least 250 who are physically in Canberra. So, unfortunately, I have to ask you to be a little bit patient and to wait for your actual lab slots before you pick up your boards if you're enrolled in a physical lab. Okay? Cool. A lot of you are worried about getting your hands on a board in the first place because you're not in Canberra and the board is out of commission basically, so it's very hard to get your hands on in some places at the moment, or actually worldwide, it's pretty hard to find it. Thankfully, thanks for all the students who posted possibilities and links to still find one. I will open a poll later today for us to find out how many of you are still without a board and outside of Canberra. And we will find individual solutions for you. Don't panic. At the moment, because you can also survive the course at least for the first half of it, so the first 6 weeks, you will be able to survive the course just based on simulators and emulators, which we will provide to you. So you're not failing the course or getting in deep trouble if you don't have a physical board. It's just less fun, but it's still you will be getting through that. And we will be making sure that you will get your hands on a board by the second half of the course as much as possible. Okay? Cool. Do we know which week the mid-semester exam will be? This is probably happening in week 6, but bear with me for the precise date. This has not been actually scheduled so far. Point is, we would like to give you feedback, particularly before census date, but we also give you already feedback in week 4. Let me just go directly to the assessment. We'll have Hurdle Lab in week 4. That doesn't count for much, but it's still a hurdle, so in that sense it counts. And it's just a short conversation with your tutor about the things which you have done in the course so far, and to confirm for you and for us that you are actually following the course and on top of the game. The Hurdle Lab is easy. If you have been following the labs and participating in the labs, it will be a walk in the park. No stress, no worries. But it's important that we are making sure that all of you are actually on board. The course is fast, and we know from experience the moment you are actually lagging and dropping behind, you will be very quickly in trouble. And we will keep an eye that this is not happening to you. The Hurdle Lab is one of these things which will make sure this is safe for you, it doesn't happen for you. All right. Yes, I would like to offer you a mid-semester exam. Now, if you all hate mid-semester exams and don't want to do it, I can also skip it. But I would not recommend to do that because, A, the mid-semester exam gives you a perfect format check for the final exam. It will be in the same format as the final exam. And again, it gives you beautiful feedback whether you're actually on top of your game. Otherwise, you have to wait for a long time before you actually find out how good you really are in this material. The weighting of the mid-semester exam is a little bit motivational, I'd say. So if it's too high, then you find out you haven't been that great so far, but you get your act together and you perform super well for the rest of the course. If the mid-semester is weighted too high, you took damage in the middle of the semester. Not great. If the mid-semester is too low, be honest, a lot of us will not take it serious, and that's also not good. So if you have a mid-semester at 2%, nobody will really put the effort in it, and then it misses the point. So somewhere around 10%, 13% to make it a round number seems to be okayish, but I'm happy for suggestions if you don't want a mid-semester or anything else. 3 assignments, they're all weighted equally. And we have a final exam, which is half the course. And there's also a hurdle on the final exam. You need to get at least 40% of the final exam to pass the course. So, does that sound somewhat reasonable? How are we running the exams? That seems okay so far. Post happily also over the next few days. We can establish this during the rest of the week. I only need to nail it by the end of the week, but until then I can take suggestions of any sort. The exam papers will be providing the maximum comfort we can during those days. So there is no proctorio. You don't have live spy cameras into your private sphere. We're not doing anything like that. But we will encourage you to self-record what you're doing. So this is it. Fully in your control. You choose the software which you trust. You record yourself there. And it will quite likely help you a lot in case there's any kind of issue with your exam, that you have some proof for us that this actually happened. Your document crashes, your exam file is actually corrupted, you still have a recording at hand. It helped and saved a lot of students last year to just have that. Plus, if we do suspect something fishy has been going on, you can prove your innocence by showing us your recordings. That's the idea. And we are only asking for those recordings in case there is something very fishy and that's something very concrete going on, or you're in trouble and want to prove something to us. So we are not requesting you to upload that by default. Okay. This has been going down extremely well last year in all the courses which we have been testing that and using that, including my own last year. So I'm fairly confident that this is a good way of doing it. And it's a good compromise of not over-policing you to put you in utter stress during the exam. I would like to have you as relaxed as possible in all the exam situations. Exams are stressful as is. There's no need to make it extra stressful by additional technical means. All right. Assignments have long preparation times, but they have hard deadlines. So we are not doing assignments where you can submit a week late. You have to submit on time, but the deadlines are generous and long, so you have plenty of time to do it right, and it's not that hard to do them. So assignment dates I will fill during the week to establish all of those. Will the exam mark be scaled? I don't know that. All marks at the ANU can be scaled at all times. There are multiple stages of scaling which can happen. All of your courses are going through first what is called the examiners conferences, which I'm guiding people through. The examiners conferences can locally inside the faculty recommend that courses need to be scaled in one way or the other, because the expectations in comparison to the cohort, to previous assessments, etc., are way off. So sometimes they're way too high, sometimes they're way too low, and yes, scaling can happen there. There's the next stage of scaling for the education committee on the college level, which can also scale. Now, these guys are mostly scaling down, but hopefully by that time we don't have any courses which are needing to be scaled down in any way. So, yes, that's standard practice at the ANU. Scaling can happen. Scaling is only to be applied if there is some kind of a mismeasurement. So if just the assessment is not fairly testing the material of the course with respect to everybody else in the cohort, and the actual performance. Does that answer your question? It's a routine answer. It has nothing to do with our course. This goes for all courses at the ANU. Will the exam run physically or virtually? That maybe my explanation was not good enough so far. The exam will be run, I wouldn't say virtually, but online, so you do it at home. You download the exam paper, and there is the clock ticking once you download the exam paper, and you have to upload the exam paper in a certain time frame, which will be probably about 2 hours and probably about 4 hours for the final exam, 2 hours for the mid-semester exam. And during that time, you're obviously strictly forbidden to communicate with anybody else and a few other things. I will walk you through the technology around that one closer to the date. Okay. There is no physical examination at the ANU this semester. So this is also not applying to our course. There won't be any physical exams on campus this semester. So, yeah, I also mentioned that mid-semester exam is hopefully probably week 6. This is all done. I think we're good. So thanks for all the questions so far. Give me more feedback if you have more ideas or suggestions about the assessment schemes and how the course is run. Form learning groups, please. It's very helpful. Use the forums. Please keep in mind, these forums are run and supported by experienced paid professional tutors. So all the responses which you get here, they're worth something. They're actually helping you. So I've seen regularly students who are actually diverting into some other kind of social network context to ask questions about ANU courses. This is madness. I have no idea why people are doing that. And please don't fall for that. You're getting A, amateur advice, which is, if wrong, sending you utterly in the wrong direction. And I don't see any reason why you would possibly do that. So that brings me to one more job. The one more job for you is course reps. Course reps are a super useful tool, which we pioneered quite a while ago together with science here on campus. And we developed the course rep scheme now to a level which is actually really productive and useful. What is it? Course reps, some of you have seen it in other courses, keep a close eye on what's going on in the course. They have to keep talking to people in the course, to your colleagues. And the moment anything goes weird, maybe bad, but you see a train wreck around the next corner someplace, your job is to ring the bell with your convener straight away and ask your convener what's going on there, what can be done, suggest maybe some other possibilities, so you have a very close relation to your convener. It's me. And whatever happens there, you should report that, and we can repair this as quickly as possible. This is so much more useful than getting some feedback by the end of the course. What's the point of that for you guys? Because if a course runs into an utter train wreck during the semester and everybody is complaining and whining about it afterwards, it doesn't help you. Right? We need to actually address things while they're happening. This is the course rep scheme. And we also meet regularly with all course reps, as I'm the associate director of education of the shop here. This will be a meeting with me for all the other course reps, for all other courses as well. This is not to tell on your convener or on your fellow students or anything like that. This is just to balance it out across the school, that you get a feeling what is happening all across, whether there are cohort problems, that, for example, there are issues which are popping up in multiple courses, and then we will discuss this in the course reps meetings, which will be happening next week, the first one. So, if you are interested to become a course rep, by the way, also looks good on your CV, but that shouldn't be your motivation, obviously. If you want to become a course rep, I post the link to handing in an application for course reps here just on the chat a second ago, and I will also post them on the forums later today. Okay. Enough said. I think you know what course reps are about, or most of you will know that, so please do that. Word of caution, as a course rep, you have, as all other professionals in computer science, freedom of choice of your tools. So you can choose any kind of polling scheme you want. But like any other professional in the ANU and also here in computer science, you are completely bound to English as the language of communication. There's no other language allowed for a variation of reasons. And you are also not allowed to go to social networks for doing that. So all the media which you're using to collect information, to communicate with your peers, have to be open for everybody. You cannot communicate with a subgroup which happened to be enrolled in a specific social network environment or local chatting system which is not open or not or requires specific registration, so not everybody is on that. So that's a bit of word of caution. You are a professional as a course rep, and you have to adhere to those standards like all the other tutors and everybody else working at the ANU. Goody, enough said about course reps now. I think we're good with that. Textbook. I wouldn't really call it a textbook, but it's a great book. It's a great book which supports a lot of detail about what we are doing here and gives you a much, much deeper and fuller picture into assembly-level programming. No, that was wrong. Actually, we are going fairly deep in assembly-level programming. But it gives you a few corners and angles which we don't have time to go into here. All the bases you will actually get in the course as well. So, but it's a great book to keep, and as with all the textbooks which we're recommending in computer science, we know textbooks cost a lot of money. A, we're not requiring you to buy it. B, we are only selecting textbooks which will be worth something in 10 years from now. So this is not a fashion book. This is a book which has stood the test of time. This is the so-and-so many edition by now, and you will take benefit for many years from a book like this. Of course, computer architecture is changing, but a lot of this is already reflected in there, what will happen in the next few years as well. So, having said that, did I forget anything about the basic course organization? Anybody wants to chime in with last questions about basic course organization? Okay. You're all primed to see what's actually happening in the course.